This Advent, I'm encouraging us to think about what we can bring to Jesus. In the last 2 weeks, we've talked about bringing Him our needs, bringing Him our disappointment, bringing Him our uncertain future. And then the next 2 weeks, today and next week, we'll talk about gifts that we can bring to Jesus. And so this morning, we're going to read some of the story of Mary, focus on Mary and specifically on her song of praise that we'll read in a couple minutes here. And we want to think about how we can bring Jesus our humble service, which is what Jesus or what Mary brought when she bore Jesus and then raised Jesus and throughout her life was a humble servant of Jesus. We all know Mary's part in the Christmas story, right? How she was called by an angel. Gabriel shows up and tells her that she's going to give birth to a son, and he's going to be the great king that they've been waiting for. He will be God's own son. And Mary's response to the angel's message to her has become synonymous with humble service, with having a willing heart and saying yes to God's call in your life. This is what Mary said, Luke chapter 1, verse 38. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And with that, Mary said, yes, I'm willing to serve the way that God has asked me to serve. Now we're going to read Mary's song of praise in just a moment. But first, I want to dispel a few myths about Mary. I think in churches like ours, sometimes we're a little uncomfortable talking about Mary. But that's where our focus is going to go today. So I want to dispel a few myths. Mary is sort of a controversial figure in church history. Controversial not because of what we read in Scripture about her, but because of what has happened throughout church history as doctrines or ideas have sort of developed around Mary, as sort of a mythology about Mary, some of it being true and some of it not being true. So let me share a few surprising and maybe remarkable truths about Mary that we can find in Scripture. So biblical truths about Mary. The first is that Mary was not sinless. And God did not choose her because she was perfect. Now I know for most of us sitting here today, that's not a controversial statement. But if we were in a Roman Catholic Church, it would be. Because Catholic doctrine has developed over the centuries to sort of elevate Mary to an almost God-like status. The Mother of God, she's known as. Catholic doctrine says that Mary was, in fact, sinless. She was a perpetual virgin. She has become this absolute ideal of purity and virtue in their teaching. Scripture, though, does not teach any of those things. The angel that visited Mary said that she was highly favored by God, but the word highly favored there is the same word that we read throughout the New Testament as the word for grace. What the angel said is that God is showing you a tremendous amount of grace, Mary, by calling you to do this extremely important thing. It doesn't mean that God was so impressed with her perfection that God had to choose Mary, but instead it means that God chose to show her grace because she, like all of us, was a sinner, was an ordinary person, that God chose to do this extraordinary thing. The second remarkable thing about Mary is that she became a mother, of course, and a wife, as we read last week, talking about Joseph, and she had other children after Jesus, which, again, that's the controversial part, because some people don't believe that. But the New Testament tells us clearly that Mary and Joseph got married, and that they raised Jesus as well as their other children, just like any other set of parents raise their children in the early part of the first century. Jesus, in fact, interacted with his siblings during his ministry. Jesus' own half-brother James went on to be a leader in the early church and to write the book of James. Right? So we know that James existed. The third, and this might be the most remarkable thing about Mary. Think about this. Mary was the only person to witness Jesus' birth, His ministry, His death, His resurrection, and His ascension. In fact, at the beginning of the book of Acts, we read that Mary was with the disciples after Jesus rose and went into heaven. And she was there, we believe, all the way at least through Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell, because it says that she was with the disciples in Jerusalem as they waited for the gift that Jesus had promised them, which was the coming of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Mary may have been one of those on Pentecost when the Spirit fell to go out and speak in other languages, other tongues to the people of Jerusalem. The last remarkable statement that I'll make about Mary is that she was the first great hero of Christian faith. From the moment the angel announced who her child would be, Mary believed. And throughout her life, as Luke tells us, she treasured up all the things that she saw and heard about Jesus and then saw Him do as He grew up and became the man that we know Him through His ministry and His death and resurrection. In that culture, as a woman, Mary may have been overlooked and not given respect that a man would have received. We know that's true, but she was a hero of faith before Peter was, before James or John were heroes of faith, before Paul was. She acted with faith and courage and strength, and God even used her to write a passage of Scripture that we're going to read right now. So Mary is certainly a person to be admired and to be held up as, again, a hero of faith, even though, back to the beginning, she was not perfect, nor was she sinless. So Mary, just days or weeks after the angel visited her, and she is now in the early stages of carrying the child who will be Jesus, she went to visit Elizabeth, who was her relative. And Elizabeth was nearing the time when she would give birth to John the Baptist. And when the two of them meet in Elizabeth's home, the baby that Elizabeth is carrying recognizes the baby that Mary is carrying, and John in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy. And at that moment, Mary is inspired by the Holy Spirit to declare, or maybe we think sing, these words of praise and prophecy. So this is Luke chapter 1, now at verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He promised our ancestors." Of all of the things that people have thought about Mary down through the centuries, some right, some wrong, what is undeniable about Mary is the character of her heart, is her humility before God, her willingness to say, "Yes, I will do whatever God is asking me to do." And so as we think about what we can bring to Jesus, as we think about Mary's story, we need to understand that she shows us how we can bring God our humble service. How we can offer ourselves also, just as Mary did, to say, yes, God, I will do whatever you call me to do. Whether it's something great and extraordinary like Mary did, or something small that no one else will notice except God, but to say, yes, I'm willing to do the things that God has asked me to do. For all that Jesus does for us, you think about the blessings that God brings into our lives because we know Jesus. He forgives our sins. He shows us grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy. He hears and answers our prayers. He walks with us during times of difficulty, His Holy Spirit there to bring us comfort. Jesus is there with us through all that we face, and He's given us the great promise that one day we can go and be with God in heaven. For all those things that Jesus has done for us, we respond with gratitude. And we respond by saying, yes, I'm willing to serve you in whatever way you call me to serve. Because God has already given us, through Jesus, more than anything we could ever ask for from Him. And so Mary's song shows us how we can come before God in humble service. And the first thing that we learn from her song is that in humility we glorify the Lord in worship. And that's, of course, what we're doing here today, right? We're worshiping God. And of anything that we can do, anything that any human being can do in this life, worship is the ultimate act of humility, of humbling ourselves before the Almighty. That is, if we worship correctly. And maybe sometimes we don't worship as we should. Worship is not supposed to be a show. It's not supposed to be entertainment for our benefit. Worship is not an act of humility if we sing songs just so that they sound pretty. It's okay to like the songs we sing, but again, we don't sing for our own entertainment. It's not an act of humility if we come into worship seeking to look good to other people, to make ourselves look good, to glorify me, or to glorify you, or to glorify the church. None of those things are appropriate in worship. And so Mary begins her song by saying, "My soul glorifies the Lord." Which makes it even more ironic that some have elevated Mary into an object of worship. When she begins her song saying, no, I want to glorify the Lord. It's not about who I am. Our souls don't sing. Our souls can't wear fancy clothes. Our souls can't be seen or heard by other people. Nobody knows what's happening inside your soul except for God. But that's where worship begins, is deep inside our hearts and our souls as we come before God with the love and devotion that our souls can feel, that our souls are able to bring before God. In our souls we can feel and understand the glory of God. We can't see or touch or hear God's glory. In fact, there's nothing in this world that we can look at and say, oh, that's what glory is. No, there's nothing in this world that is glorious. It's only God who is glorious. And it's our souls that can understand God's glory, that all-surpassing, beautiful, magnificent perfection of God that has no equal, no match in this world. And yet our souls can understand that God is glorious. And so we humble ourselves. We humble ourselves before our glorious God, and we lift up the name of Jesus above every other name, every other idea, every other loyalty that this world may offer to us. We say, no, we are going to glorify the Lord. We are going to glorify the name of Jesus. And so we rejoice in our Savior because He is glorious, because He is deserving of praise, and we are not, and nothing in this world is, but Jesus is. And so our souls glorify the Lord as we worship. Mary's song also shows us that Jesus blesses us when we bring Him our willing hearts. When we are willing to say, like Mary did, yes, I'll do whatever you ask, God. I will serve you however you want. Then in return, we receive the blessing of Jesus. Maybe the most striking thing about Mary's attitude is that she felt blessed to be chosen by God. And again, God didn't choose her because she was perfect. God chose her to do something extraordinary because she was humble and willing. Because God knew that when He asked, Mary would say yes. And that's why she was chosen. And so Mary felt blessed. She didn't tell God, no, you know, I'm too busy. I've got other plans for my life, which she did, right? She was about to get married. Young woman, she was excited to be married to Joseph. She had plans that any young woman in her situation would have had. She didn't say to God, you know, I'm too important to the world, right? I'm going to be this famous person, God, and that doesn't have anything to do with what you're asking me to do. I've got other things on my mind, not these spiritual things you're inviting me to do, God. She didn't say, you know, God, thanks, but I'm really not interested. I'm kind of a shy person. I don't want anybody to know my name. Go ask someone else. No, Mary rejoiced because God took notice of her. In fact, she says, He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. And that was not arrogance on Mary's part. Oh, everyone's going to think how great I am. No, she's amazed at this. It's because of what God has done. Now people are going to say that I have been blessed by God. Because she understood that the simple act of saying yes was all that she was offering to God. Everything else was going to be God's doing in her life. And so the question for us is that how you feel when you have an opportunity to serve God, whether it's in the church or in your family or an opportunity to witness to someone who you know, a neighbor, a friend, whoever it is? Is your attitude, wow, I'm so blessed that God would choose me to do this thing in His kingdom, to serve in the church, to share the good news with someone? What a blessing it is that God would choose someone like me. I think all too often our attitude is maybe a little different than that. I'm a little busy right now, God. You know, I've got all these other important things I'm doing. Maybe someone else who's not as important as I am, you can call them. When God invites you to show love to a neighbor, do you feel blessed to be called, to be chosen by God? You should, because it's an amazing honor to be a part of the work that God is doing in the world. Again, even if it's something that no one else is ever going to see or know about. But you get to be a part of what God is doing to change the world and to change other people's lives. And it's a blessing. And if we're willing, then Jesus will use us to be a blessing to others. There's another surprising and powerful truth in Mary's song. And I think this one speaks to a failing that we are seeing right now throughout the American church. And the American church is no news to say is in decline. And I'm not saying this is the reason that it's in decline, but it's one of the symptoms of that decline. All too often in the American church today, we've fallen for the world's ideas when it comes to leadership and power in the church. The American church today is dominated by celebrity pastors, wealthy entrepreneurial leaders who think with their worldly influence and wealth, they can buy influence in the church, and they often do. By social media influencers, you know who those people are, who shape theology by sending out a tweet or a blog post in some anonymous place, they send out a message that's read by thousands or millions of people and taken as truth that may or may not be truth. But like the rest of the culture around us, the church seems to believe that success equals faithfulness. And so if someone has a lot of followers, oh, God must be blessing them. If a church grows and becomes really big, then oh, God must be using them in an extraordinary way. Maybe. But the church has fallen for this idea that God honors people's achievements. Mary understood what the Christian church, not just today, but throughout the history of the church, has often overlooked. And that is that Jesus does mighty things through us when we are humble and weak. When we are humble and weak. Listen again to these words. And these words speak again to first century, 2,000 years ago when Mary wrote them, and maybe thinking about the Roman Empire, and they speak all down through the history of the church, and they certainly speak to the church today. She says, He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He's scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. It may be significant that Mary was poor as she said those words or wrote those words. It might be significant that she lived in a community that was oppressed in many ways, politically, religiously, economically, again, by the Romans who occupied that land. But she didn't write these words because she was poor. She wrote them because they tell us something true and surprising and powerful about who God is and about who God still is today. In fact, about a generation later, Paul wrote these words that sound very much like what Mary said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world, the despised things, things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. We bring Jesus our humble service. We don't bring Him our strength, our intelligence, our power, our worldly influence, and say, God, look at me, I'm so great, I can do all sorts of good things for You. God's not impressed. We bring Him our willing hearts, despite our weakness, despite our fear of failure, despite our lack of resources. We bring Jesus our resume that is full of holes and inadequacies. And that's when Jesus can use us. That's when He can do mighty things through us. Mary was a young, unmarried woman living in a small town under Roman oppression. She couldn't have known the first thing about raising a king, much less raising the Son of God, but she was willing. And she understood that in her weakness and in her need for God's help, that it would be by His mighty arm and by His strength that mighty things would be accomplished. And so whatever Jesus is asking you to do, it's not because you're strong enough, not because you're smart enough. And so don't let that be an excuse. Oh, I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. Good. That's when you know you're ready. It's only because of His grace. only because of your willing heart. Jesus can do mighty things through you. He can use you to help someone find salvation. He can use you to bring hope to someone who's feeling sorrowful and hurting. He can use you to speak His truth to a lost soul and help them to find their way back to God. God can change lives through people like you and me, and it's not because of who we are, it's because of who He is. It was through Mary's humble service that God was able to fulfill His greatest promise, to accomplish the mightiest act of saving power that God had been planning for thousands of years. Because Mary said yes. Because she was willing. She was willing to help bring Jesus into the world. And so God brought salvation to all who come to Him in faith. God is asking you to join in the work of Jesus' kingdom. He is asking you. And your humble yes, your willing service to whatever it is He's calling you to do, will enable God to do great things. And people's lives will be changed. And so this Christmas, you can give Jesus a precious gift. You can give Him your humble service. You can give Him a willing heart, just like Mary's. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your call in our lives. Lord, we know that You want to use us just like You called Mary. Lord, give us the courage to say yes. Give us the humility to say yes. Give us the faith that knows that You are able to do great things even through people like us. Lord, we thank You for the mighty work that You're doing in the world even today. Changing even one life, Lord, is a miracle. We thank You that we can be a part of reaching the community around us. So, Lord, use us not according to our strength, but according to the power of Your mighty arm. And through the name of Jesus. Amen.